Iruwera Maihi Paduone, the story of a great rangatira, as told by Fraser Smith, a great, 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 great grandson. Iruwera Maihi Paduone lived to be 108. Some say he was 112. Over his long life, he would witness enormous change. Paduone was a boy when Captain Cook first arrived, and he was one of the first rangatira to sign Te Tiriti o Waitangi. As a warrior, he fought with both traditional weapons and muskets. Later in life, he became a peacemaker. Like his cousin, Hongihika, Paduone was a descendant of Rahiri, who in turn descended from Kupe. Paduone was born the third son of Tāpua, a Hokianga chief in Tohunga. His mother, Te Kawe Hau, was also highly born. The ship. One day in 1769, when Paduone was about five, his father was out fishing near Motu Kōkako, Piercy Island, when he saw a strange waka. It looked like a floating island. The fishermen went to investigate, throwing some of their trevally to the pale, oddly dressed men. The ship was the Endeavour, and Captain Cook invited Patuone's father and some of the other men on board. They were given gifts, including a leg of pork, a food unknown to Māori. Later, Paduone and his sister ate the pork. They declared it sweet and very good. The coming of these strangers had been predicted by tūpuna years before. Look to the sea and beware, they said. In the decades that followed, many more ships arrived, bringing fortune seekers, whalers, sealers, traders, and escaped convicts from Australia. The needs of these newcomers were many, and Māori were eager to trade for axes, spades, fish hooks, and muskets. Iron from Pākehā was highly prized. Even a simple nail was a treasure. A new leader. When Paduone was born, his people believed he was destined for greatness, the chosen one who would inherit his father's mana. From an early age, he was taught hand-to-hand combat, history, and whakapapa, all the skills he'd need to be a tohunga, warrior, and leader of his hapū, Ngāti Hau. Tāpua had another prophecy for his son. Hei tangata pai koe, māu e ho hau te rongo. You will be a good man, a peacemaker. As a young man, Paduone fought alongside his father and brothers in many battles. These were difficult years. War was always present in the far north as competing hapū struggled to gain land and power. Patuone's two oldest brothers were killed by the time he was 20, but Paduone and his younger brother, Nene, survived, and their reputation as warriors grew. In 1806, Paduone fought in the Battle of Waituna, using a mere ponamu to kill the enemy rangatira, Tata Kahuanui. Look at the timeline. About 1764, Paduone is born. 1769, Cook's first visit to New Zealand. 1806, the Battle of Waituna, which helps establish Patuone's reputation as a great warrior. Trade. By the early 1800s, many northern hapū were growing food to trade with Pākehā. They had learnt that potatoes were easier to grow than kumara. Now they could produce three crops a year instead of one. Many hapū also had mōkai, war captives, to work in the fields as well as ploughs, horses, bullocks and tools, all of which saved labour and increased production. Patuone made the most of new opportunities. He grew wheat and other crops for trade, and he and Nene became involved in a shipyard in Horeke on the Hokianga Harbour. Many ships were travelling up and down the coast, and they needed a place to resupply. In 1826, Patuone made his first trip to Sydney to spread the word that Hokianga Harbour, under his protection, was a good place for ships to anchor. Patuone could provide them with potatoes, pork, flax, wheat, timber, and kauri spars, which were in high demand to make masts for ships. Patuone wasn't the only rangatira in the north who wanted to do business with Pākehā. Hongi Hika had his own plans for trade on nearby Whangaroa Harbour. Although related, Patuone and Hongi were rivals, especially when it came to the missionaries. Mission stations in Northland meant more ships would come, and so both rangatira wanted a good relationship with the missionaries. Look at the caption on the image. It says, "The shipyard at Horeke." Look at the timeline. 1814. New Zealand's first mission station is established in Ngangihaua. 1818. The musket wars begin. 1826. The Horeke shipyard is established. The missionaries. New Zealand's first missionary was the Anglican Samuel Marsden. He arrived in 1814. By 1845, there were 11 mission stations in the North Island, Anglican, Wesleyan, and Catholic. The missionaries introduced Western ideas about farming and trade, as well as religion, and they often taught Māori to read and write. They also preached against Māori traditions, including the keeping of mōkai, having more than one wife, tribal warfare, and cannibalism. Māori values such as mana, utu, tapu, and noa were also discouraged. Despite their influence, the missionaries still lived in a world that was overwhelmingly Māori. While they'd come to New Zealand to spread their ideas, especially about religion, the missionaries had to adapt. And Māori had their own way of interpreting Christianity, so it was a better fit with their beliefs. This approach greatly troubled many missionaries. Look at the caption below the image. It says, "The mission station at Māngungu." The musket wars. Patuone was related to many powerful Ngāpuhi chiefs, Honihika, Pōmari, Muriwai, and Honiheke Pōkai. These rangatira led many taua, war parties, that travelled vast distances to avenge past wrongs. From 1818, Ngāpuhi launched a series of expeditions that covered much of the North Island. At first, Ngāpuhi had a huge advantage. They were the first Māori to trade with Pākehā, which gave them access to muskets. Māori had never used these weapons before, and so the battles that followed were part of what was later called the Musket Wars. Patuone and Nene took part in some of these campaigns, including the first Army or Whenua expedition in 1819. Using these new weapons, unknown to Māori in the south, they won many battles and took many mōkai. By the time the musket wars ended in the north in the 1830s, more than 20,000 Māori had died. Look at the caption below the image. It says, "Heke Pōkai, left, and Patuone." Law and order. Hongi Hika died in 1828. It was the start of a difficult time for Patuone. Not long after, his wife and three of his children died within 6 months, probably from tuberculosis. Patuone became restless. He visited Sydney a second time, then married Takarangi, the sister of a Ngāti Paua chief from Whakatiwe. Patuone began to spend a lot of time in the area, trading flax and timber. He also maintained pā at Whakatiwe and at Pūtiki on Waiheke Island. As the settler population continued to grow, so did the problems. Ships carrying rum often docked in Hokianga, leading to drunken behaviour and fights. Patuone and other rangatira wanted to ban alcohol from the rohi. Sometimes he arranged for people to paddle out to the ships to tip the drink overboard. In 1831, rumours spoke of more trouble. The French planned to colonise New Zealand. Patuone, Nene and 11 other Ngāpuhi rangatira gathered at Kerikeri to sign a petition asking the British King for protection. The result was He Whakaputanga, the Declaration of Independence. This was signed by 34 rangatira, including Patuone and Nene. He Whakaputanga promised that Māori would continue to rule over their land and Britain would protect them from other countries. Afterwards, Māori flew the United Tribes flag and British ships fired cannons to celebrate. Look at the caption on the image. It says, Kororareka. Look at the timeline. 1826, Patuone's first visit to Sydney. 1827, a mission station is established at Māngungu under Patuone's protection. 1835, He Whakaputanga is signed. Look at the map. Te Tai Tokerau, a map of Northland. Whangaroa Harbour, Rangihaua, Motu Kokako, Horeke, Kororareka, Māngungu, Ruapekapeka, Hokianga Harbour, Waiheke Island, Auckland, Whakatiwe. Partnership and War. 5 years later, Patuone was part of another landmark signing, Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Many rangatira were against Te Tiriti. Some wanted to push the Pākehā back into the sea, but Patuone and Nene believed it was too late. Nene said, "We now have 20-year-old children who have come from the Pākehā." Patuone spoke for peace and acceptance, and over the next 7 months, more than 500 rangatira would sign Te Tiriti. Patuone wanted a peaceful life with Pākehā, but after Te Tiriti, some Māori grew frustrated. The British were breaking promises. Heke Pōkai expressed this frustration, cutting down the British flagpole at Kororareka 3 times. A few months later, he attacked soldiers based in the town. In response, the British launched a military campaign against the Ngāpuhi chief and his ally, Te Ruki Kawiti. This was the start of the Northern War. Look at the timeline. 1838. Ngāpuhi involvement in the Musket Wars ends. 1840. Patuone is baptised on 26 January and given the name Eruera Maihi, Edward Marsh. 1840, the first rangatira signed Te Tiriti o Waitangi on 6 February. The New Zealand Wars. The Northern War was the first of many between the government and Māori in the mid-19th century. These wars were about who owned the land and who controlled the country. Most of the fighting was centred in four regions: Northland, 1845 to 46, Taranaki, 1860 to 61 and 1863 to 69, Waikato, 1863 to 64, and Bay of Plenty East Coast, 1864 to 72. Although Māori sometimes had the upper hand, especially in Northland, they eventually lost. The government was able to sustain a long military campaign, but it was difficult for Māori, who had fewer resources and people to fight. By the end, Māori were heavily outnumbered. After the wars, the government punished Māori by taking millions of hectares of land. Look at the caption on the image. It says, "The government siege on the pā at Ruapekapeka." Look at the timeline. 1844. Heke Pōkai cuts down the flagpole at Kororareka for the first time on 8 July. 1845. The Northern War starts. 1846. The Northern War ends. Bridge between two worlds. Patuone was in his 80s when the Northern War broke out. He and Nene didn't support Heke Pōkai. The brothers believed the Pākehā were there to stay. It was better if their people sided with the British in a limited way. However, when Heke Pōkai was defeated, Nene advised the government not to take his land. Patuone also had a lot of influence over government officials. There were many misunderstandings between Māori and Pākehā, and his reputation as a peacemaker meant he was often asked to help. When Patuone's third wife, Riria, died in 1849, his people wanted him to return to Hokianga. But Governor Grey valued Patuone's presence in Auckland. He was an important bridge between two worlds. And so he gave Patuone a large piece of land at Takapuna Beach. It was a shrewd decision that paid off just a few years later, when Ngāti Pauā warriors arrived in Auckland to avenge the arrest of their rangatira. Patuone negotiated their peaceful withdrawal. In 1865, Wellington became the country's new capital. The politicians continued to ask Patuone's opinion, although he wasn't always listened to. Look at the caption on the image. It says, "The British waiting to invade Waikato, 1863. Look at the timeline. 1852. Patuone moves to Takapuna. 1863. The government invades Waikato in July against Patuone's advice. 1865. Wellington becomes the country's capital. Look at the quote beside the image. It says, "In no way neglect kindness. It is a power that will help you." This quote is by Eruera Maihi Patuone, who lived from approximately 1764 to 1872. A century of change. Patuone died on 19 September 1872. In the weeks before his death, Māori travelled from around the country to pay their respects. Patuone didn't want a traditional tangi. Instead, 500 people, Māori and Pākehā, gathered for a state funeral in Auckland. He was buried in the Mount Victoria Cemetery in Te Hau Kapua, Devonport, close to where he had lived for many years. The government erected a plaque by the grave. It described Patuone as a warm friend of Europeans, supporter of the Queen's laws, and peacemaker. Although Patuone had at least 9 children, only one, Hohaia, survived to have children of his own. Before his death, Patuoni told his son, "In no way neglect kindness. It is a power that will help you." Look at the timeline. 1872. The New Zealand Wars end in late February. 1872. Patuoni dies and is buried in Auckland. 1876. The Life and Times of Patuoni by C.O. Davis is published.